inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green. It's Tuesday, so you've got Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Walker Wobbin with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Hope you're tuning in all 5 days. Because let's face it, we need truth, folks. We need a good source for truth, and then we need to share it with people and be force multipliers out there. So hopefully you're listening to At the Core every day and then sharing it with your friends and family, or and taking action on the different things that we talk about in the program each day. Man, there's so much going on, and you know, I get it. Sometimes you look out there at the landscape of the culture war, and I know some people don't like that phrase, but that's what's happening. And you say it's like whack-a-mole. I mean, they're attacking on every level and every institution, everything that's going on. What do I do? How do I pick the right place to spend my life, fortune, and sacred honor? We talked about that last week, the fact that we all have to give a little bit of each of those things. We don't have to give it all, but we have to give a little bit of each of those things. And so sometimes it's hard to pick. And that's why it's important to listen to the program, because what Walker and I attempt to do is sort of shine a light, sort of zero in on specific issues each day and help to focus in on where the most important pivot points are and what are the things that are going to have the biggest impact, not just tomorrow or this next election, but the next generation. I mean, literally, what are the ripple effects right now? What's that issue that where you can throw your pebble in, right? Where we can each, because we all only have so much influence, where we each kind of throw our pebble in and have a ripple effect that will over time help to win this culture back to God. And whether that happens immediately or it takes a generation or multiple generations, we don't know the answer to that part. All we know is what can we do right now where we're planted, our part in building, rebuilding the walls, rebuilding the foundations of this country. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the program and giving us a chance to pour into your life a little bit and give you some truth. I'm going to hit as many of the headlines as I can before we go to the phones today, and then we'll go to the phones. But if you want to write down the number or go ahead and call in and get in line, it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Look forward to hearing from you with your comments, questions, insults, whatever you got, bring it on. Let me hit the headlines, the couple of things that just stood out to me today that I thought we should highlight in terms of the good, the bad, and the ugly of what's going on in the world. Of course, you know, everybody's paying attention to this FBI the document that the FBI has that apparently makes a case for, you know, a bribe, you know, scheme with the Biden family, and that Joe Biden himself participating in this thing. This is huge. It should be huge. It's something that should be investigated. These documents should be turned over. We, of course, talked last week about the fact that when the FBI refuses to answer to Congress, that is a real problem, right? Now, of course, you know, they finally have gone over and shown the document to this one particular committee. But look what it took just to get them to answer and respond. At that point, it's already too late in my mind. I mean, granted, we got the document, you know, or some of these members of Congress got a chance to see it. But that is unacceptable that it took that long. That is unacceptable that FBI Director Wray was even willing to say no or willing to stonewall. These people answer to Congress and to the American people. Of course, the Congress is, let's keep this all in check. Let's keep this all in perspective. Congress answers to us. We hire them, right? When we vote for our elected representatives, their job is to go to Washington, D.C., and be our representatives and make decisions within the realm of jurisdiction that we've given them. Not decisions to do anything and everything they want, but within that realm of jurisdiction, which, according to the Constitution, is only 17 things, but they're doing all this other stuff they shouldn't be doing. I digress. I don't want to go down that rabbit trail today. But within that jurisdiction and the things that they create, when they create an agency, when they create a, you know, Department of Agriculture, which is completely unconstitutional, by the way, when they create an FBI, a Department of Justice, and then an FBI, then those departments answer to them. Now, they're run by another branch of government, the executive branch. That's the president's job to execute the law, right? And so that's why the Department of Justice, the secretary, is appointed by the president, and the president oversees the agency. But then Congress has oversight as well because they write the checks, because they pass the laws that either give these agencies power or take away power. And so when the Congress, through its oversight committee that this Representative Comer is in charge of, when they say to one of these agencies, hey, we're going to have a hearing, make sure you're spending the money correctly, make sure you're not doing things that undermine the Constitution, we're going to have a hearing, and we want you to bring these documents we want to review, we want to interview these particular people within your agency, they're supposed to comply. They meaning the FBI, they meaning the Department of Justice or Department of Agriculture, whoever it is. They have to respond to Congress because Congress is in charge of these things. And Congress then has to come home to us and answer to us. So when you're a member of Congress, your House member or your Senate member comes home and they hold a town hall meeting, or they're going to speak at the local, you know, Chamber of Commerce or whatever it might be, that's where we get a chance to show up and say, excuse me, Mr. Congressman, Madam Congresswoman, I want to know why the FBI is raiding a pro-life activist's home at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and pointing guns at his children and at him, and then arresting him for a confrontation that happened at an abortion clinic a year ago. Like, what is that kind of stuff? What is the point? Those are the kind of things that these committees in Congress absolutely should be asking and absolutely have a constitutional duty to ask. And then the FBI has a constitutional duty to respond. So all of that set up to say they should have handed over these documents long before. They should have been responding to Congress on these things long before. But now that they finally have, and I think it was, Thursday or Friday that they I forget when they finally went to. No, it was yesterday. Yesterday was when they finally went over and showed the document. They wouldn't even hand over the document. They just went over and showed the document to these members of the Intelligence Committee the Oversight Committee. Okay, so the House Oversight Committee demanded, we want to know what you have. If this whistleblower says that there was some scheme the president was involved in, the president financially benefited from his office whenever he was vice president, the American people deserve to know about it, and it very well may be impeachable. If it's true, it's absolutely impeachable. If this is not a high crime and misdemeanor, I don't know what would be, right? So this committee's doing their job. They're saying the claims have been made. There are charges that have been made. We have to investigate and find out whether or not there's something here. Well, now the FBI is actually saying, according to Representative Anna Luna in Florida, she's a new member of Congress, and according to her, she's saying that they are saying, the FBI is saying, that if this person, this whistleblower, is revealed, this informant is revealed, that they may be killed. Wow. Whoa. I mean, everybody in America should be like, pause, hang on. Wait a minute. We've got threats that the FBI is saying. An FBI I don't trust, so let's just be blunt about this. An FBI director I certainly don't trust. The American people have lost any faith that these agencies and certainly the DOJ and the FBI are impartial. But if they are saying, if this not so impartial DOJ and FBI that have clearly been in the tank for the Democrats, persecuting Republicans or conservatives or constitutionalists and ignoring the crimes of people on the left, if that DOJ is, if this is true, if what Representative Luna is saying is true, if that DOJ is saying in private to this committee, if we let people know who this informant is, we're afraid they may be killed, then what they're saying, let's read between the lines a little bit here, what they're saying is that the Biden family is at risk of losing power and finally being prosecuted, and therefore the informant that is informing on the Biden family is at risk of being killed. Are we watching The Godfather right now? I mean, is this a mafia movie? Is someone from the Biden family going to come out and say to the committee, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse? Now, come on, that was a pretty, pretty good Marlon Brando impersonation. I just want to say I very rarely, if ever, do it. I don't think I've ever done an I might have done Trump once on radio last week. I try not to do impersonations because I'm terrible at them. But the Marlon Brando one for The Godfather, that's pretty good.
And I may ask you to do a fit. And that day may never come when I come to you and ask you to do that.
I don't have any cotton balls to put in my... No, no good. I'm being shot down by the producer. He's saying, nope, it's not any good. Bobby says that's the worst impersonation of Marlon Brando I've ever seen. Okay, I'm sorry. Got to have a little comic relief when it's a subject so serious. All right, look, listen, this is a mafia-type situation here. The Biden family has been living off of the government for 50 years. They have their teeth into the agencies. Joe Biden bragged about the fact that he got people to back off and do whatever he asked them to do in these other countries. I think this is a smoking gun myself. I want to know where this is going to go, and I think this House committee is going to do dig in their heels at this point. I think that you just gave a dog a bone, folks. You just, the FBI just gave a dog a bone. If this is true, now granted, all we have so far that I'm aware of anyway is one member of Congress revealing that this happened in this meeting. This was actually on Twitter. I mean, Twitter's where everything's happening now. Presidential announcements are happening on Twitter. The FBI is being outed on Twitter. And apparently the danger that this whistleblower is in for going against the Biden crime family is being outed, or the fact that they're in danger is being announced on Twitter. So anyway, that headline, if that doesn't scream at you when you see it, we have to comment on that. Don't have much time before the break, but I want to get in a couple other headlines here real quick. Apparently, there's a family, and I may have mentioned this briefly before, but there's a family in Vermont that just reached a settlement with this school district where they were punished. This family was punished for speaking out against having guys in girls' locker rooms, and this wasn't the first time we've heard this. You've seen several stories. There was one in Colorado. They're all over the country where the schools, instead of defending the women like they should be, defending our daughters from men going into the locker room and the shower with these girls, instead of defending the girls, the school districts have been defending the guys and saying, no, you girls, you know, we'll have some sort of therapy session for you. We'll give you a counselor, but you got to let guys into the... It's insane. It's insane. But apparently, there was a family in Vermont that sued over this, and they have settled for $125,000. I love it. I love it. I think it ought to be millions, and I think we ought to absolutely do more of this. Parents need to be suing these school districts that are not protecting their daughters. And I don't care if we bankrupt the education system. In fact, that probably would be a good thing. If you are defending the guy that is going into a girl's locker room or shower and you're not defending our daughters, you need to go bankrupt. You need to go out of business. And all of those education dollars should go to the parents to then go to whatever school they choose. And let me tell you something. They are not going to choose a school that lets a guy go into the locker room and the shower of their daughter. They're going to choose a school that defends the girl, that says no to this nonsense, no to this evil, that is no longer silent. I just had an interview with a guy that I cannot wait to share with you on this program. I don't know maybe we'll be able to share it Thursday. Maybe it'll be next week. I'm telling you, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Bonhoeffer was right. And so parents, families out there, be like this family in Vermont and say no. Absolutely not. We will not sit back. We will not be silent. Whether it's the courts, whether it's showing up at school meetings, whether it's running for school board and taking over that school and preventing this kind of evil against our daughters, we will not be silent. So there's a great victory for you. A settlement in Vermont, not a red state, not a bastion of conservatism. This is in Vermont that this happened. So we can do this, folks. We can do this. We can turn this thing around, but we got to be willing to speak up, just like this whistleblower is speaking up against the Biden crime family, and just like this family in Vermont speaking up against this evil in their local school district. Our voices must be heard. Let your voice be heard. Let your values be counted. Let's get in the game, folks. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. I'm Rick Green. You're listening to At the Core.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Ooh, that was good, Nurse Mama. That was good. Planting and harvesting don't happen in the same season. I needed to hear that. I'm glad you played that, Bobby. That was that's good. Planting and harvesting don't happen in the same season. Folks, come on. We need to take that to heart here on At the Core. That's you have to pour in. You got to sow, you got to plant, you got to water, you got to be patient. You know, God doesn't, this microwave mentality we have, this, and I'm guilty of it. Listen, I want it all right now. I'm like a right now kind of guy, and I want to solve everything right now. I'm like, let's storm the gates and get this done and turn the country around. That's just not how God works. It's just not how God works. I'm telling you, incrementalism is a biblical concept, and that's why it doesn't mean that we're, you know, don't push, we don't give it all that. It's just that at the end of the day, after we have pushed all day, after we have, I mean, talk to any farmer, right? That planting part is hard. You are giving your all. That tilling, all of those things is hard work. But then you put your head on the pillow at night and go, duty is ours, results are God's. I did my duty today. I planted, I watered, I did whatever it was. And for us in the culture right now, it's literally, we're kind of in this tilling phase right now. If I were going to label the season right now, I would say we're tilling. We're having to go in and break up a lot of this hard ground, these hardened hearts. We're having to break up a hardened culture, and we're going to have to till for a while. And then we're going to have to plant the seeds of liberty. We're going to have to plant the seeds of biblical citizenship, plant the seeds of biblical principles of liberty, and then we're going to have to water, and we're going to have to keep doing this, and we may or may not. Here's the hard part. This is all ad-libbed. I'm just off of that last part of that ad from Nurse Mama. But the hard part is going to be realizing that we may be planting trees that we don't get to enjoy the shade of. The hard part here is we've got to think generationally and realize the fights we're engaged in right now, we may not get to see the fruit. We may not even get to see the victory. I don't say that to depress you. I don't say that to disengage you. I say it to hopefully get you to have a generational view of this whole thing. The founders certainly did, right? I mean, from the Boston Massacre in 1770 to actually having a Bill of Rights and the Constitution and the First Ten Amendments intact and our nation moving forward with that kind of liberty, 21 years. 21 years from 1770 to 1991. I mean, we could go back to 1765 and say, when the Stamp Act and some of the things that were happening, it's even longer, right? So this is not, this culture war thing is not going to be a one presidential election and we're done. Oh, if we can just get so-and-so elected, whether that's whoever for you that is, Trump, DeSantis, Tim Scott, whoever, or, you know, Robert Kennedy, whatever you, whoever you've decided is the right person. If we just get them elected president, that's not how it works. That's one piece of a much bigger puzzle. And sometimes it's getting them elected just so that you can till the ground and then the hard work begins. You might think getting somebody elected a president is the hard work. No. We need somebody elected a president just to have the freedom to not have the FBI raiding our homes because we stood up and said, I'm for the Constitution. We stood up and said, I'm going to homeschool my kids because they're these left-wing Marxists at the local public school district do not own my kids, and I'm not going to hand my kids over to them. You might have to win elections just to have the freedom to plant, to till and then plant and then water, and then maybe your grandkids get to enjoy the blessings of liberty as a result of that hard work. Okay, I didn't mean to go off on all that. I was supposed to be doing headlines and taking your phone calls. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If my wife is listening today, she's probably going, Rick, you're squirrel, you're a little bit ADHD today and bouncing around on the topics. But that was just such a good point. I love it. Planting and harvesting aren't in the same seat. I'm going to write a book on that. That was just that good. Or at least I'm going to write a speech on it. maybe give a sermon on it. That was just too good. Okay, all right, where was I on my headlines? And then we'll go to the phones. There was another one I definitely wanted to get in. It was about RFK, in fact, and I just mentioned it. Oh, I got it. Here we go. Okay, so RFK Jr., and by the way, if you're not familiar, so this is so Robert Kennedy Jr., his uncle was JFK. All right, so our President John F. Kennedy that was assassinated in, let's see, 63, and frankly he was a Democrat. Remember the Kennedys are like they're like Democrat royalty, right? I mean they have been the face of the Democrat Party for many years, and a lot of it's nostalgic, right? Because JFK and Jackie O, I mean, they just were just this picturesque, presidential family, and so anyway, so they still have what's the word I'm looking for here? A ton of they have a ton of respect, and just a nostalgic view of this is the quintessential Democrat family. Well, so RFK, his dad, the brother of JFK, was assassinated as well months after. Actually, it was a couple of years after JFK was assassinated. RFK runs for president and gets assassinated on the campaign trail. Well, here's RFK Jr., the next generation, now running for president, and so as a Democrat, he has tremendous respect in the Democrat Party, but he also has tremendous respect from Republicans and people in the middle, because he's always been he's always been willing to buck the system. He's always been willing, you know, there's something about a guy that's willing to stand up and say, this is what I believe, I don't care what the costs are. People love that, as they should. We don't have enough of it, so we're hungry for it. And so RFK's always been one of those guys. I mean, he's taken on Big Pharma. He's taken on the Democrat Party. This is just a guy that's been willing to stand up and say, I don't care if you love me or not. I don't care what the consequences are. I'm going to speak truth. In fact, we just saw that with Elon Musk. That interview, if you haven't seen it, is just incredible, where the MSNBC reporter is grilling him on, you know, hey, why don't you tweet all this stuff? You're hurting Twitter stock, all this, whatever. And if you saw this, so it's just the clip. He pauses. Elon Musk pauses for like a full 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds. And then he says that he's reminded of the scene in Princess Bride, where at the end, Inigo Montoya says, he finds the guy that killed his dad, and he says, offer me money. Offer me power. And then Elon Musk looks at this guy with this, I mean, it's like the most determined face. And he says, I don't care. And then he's silent again. It's so good. It's so good. If you haven't seen that clip, go DuckDuckGo it. Don't Google it. Don't go to Google. Don't help him. Go to DuckDuckGo and DuckDuckGo it. And it's just powerful. And it's standing up to the machine and saying, I don't care. I'm going to speak truth. It's Patrick Henry in the Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death speech. What did he say at the beginning of that speech? He said, I don't care if I offend you. I mean, his words were, according to the magnitude of the subject, ought to be the freedom of the debate. Only in this way can we arrive at the truth. And if I should offend you, and I care more about offending you than I will offend the great creator of the universe. And so in other words, he said, I do this all the time in speeches. I say to people at the beginning of the speech, I say, hey, listen, if I step on your toes today, I don't care. No, actually, the way I say it is, if I step on your toes today, I apologize. My intent is to stomp on them. In other words, I don't care if I offend you. In fact, I hope I offend you. Because that's how you arrive at truth. You say things that people aren't necessarily agreeing with. That's where conviction comes from. That's what a pastor should be doing every Sunday, is saying things that offend, because if it's biblically true and it offends, then it convicts. And then if it convicts, we change, right? Our conscience, God uses that to convict us. That offense, whenever we're not in line with the truth, is a good thing. It convicts us and we change. And so RFK is one of these guys that just does that. He just doesn't care if it offends. He speaks truth, it offends, and then people, either change or they don't. Anyway, so RFK had an interview with Elon Musk. He was actually one of these Twitter spaces with Elon Musk. And man, I mean, he gave a whole litany of things that in the Democrat Party are not, you know, this is not normal. It's sort of like what happened with Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard stood up and said a lot of things in the Democrat Party debates in 2020 that the Democrats didn't like. And so they went after her. She was the best candidate the Democrats have had in years. And they basically ran her out of the party because she had differing views. So in other words, they don't adopt the Patrick Henry idea of according to the magnitude of the subject ought to be the freedom of the debate. It should be like that in both parties. It should be like that in the public square. It should certainly be like that in the media. Well, RFK is basically saying, listen, if you don't have debates, which is what the Biden crime family are now, you know, saying since they have control of the Democrat Party, we can't allow for debates. I mean, someone might question the head of the Biden crime family, and they might actually, you know, put him on the spot in a debate. So they're saying they're not even going to have debates in the Democrat Party. And so RFK is saying, I mean, here's a Kennedy, a legit Kennedy, like part of the Kennedy, you know, royalty of the Democrat Party. He's saying this is Soviet style politics, that if you don't have a debate, you're essentially allowing for the Politburo, the communist machine, to pick the leader, pick the candidate in this case, and then you know, potentially the leader, without freedom. And I think RFK's right on this, and I also think it needs to be spoken in the Republican Party, because there's rumors that Trump is not going to be willing to debate. And if so, shame on whatever consultant is making that decision, and shame on Trump if he decides to support such an idea. I don't think he will. I think he loves the debates. I think he thrives on everybody on stage coming after him and then defending himself. So I don't think that'll happen in the Republican Party, but they're playing footsie-footsie with it. They're dipping their toe in the pool and saying, what if we just kind of have a coronation of Trump, and then he doesn't have to go through the debates that might weaken him That's bad, folks. The debates strengthen a candidate. They make a candidate better. So whether it's Trump or DeSantis that comes out on top in this Republican primary that's going to be a knockdown dragout for the next year, they will be stronger on the other side of that. They need to do that. And same for the Democrats. Absolutely, RFK's right on this. There's some other things that he said. This is shocking to me, but you have a Democrat, major Democrat candidate for president. In fact, I don't know what he's polling at now, at least 20%, definitely in second place, that is actually saying that the Second Amendment should be defended. This is a Democrat candidate for president, and he is saying, let me see if I can find the exact quote here. He also went after Big Pharma, of course, and talks about the link between Big Pharma and the media and how even Fox News did not talk about the downsides to the jab because they're getting so much money from Big Pharma advertising. I love this guy, man. He is revealing so much of the evil that is happening. But get this quote. He said that he is a, quote, constitutional absolutist. Now, I'm America's Constitution coach. I'm not necessarily an absolutist on anything but the Bible, but I love a candidate that says in the Democrat Party that he's a constitutional absolutist. And then he goes on to defend the Second Amendment and that taking away Americans' guns is, quote, not the right thing. He says that infringements on the Second Amendment are part of a systematic assault on our Bill of Rights at a time when the Constitution has been under attack in an unprecedented way. Folks, come on. This is a Democrat saying this. This is as big or bigger than Eric Adams, mayor of New York, ultra-liberal Democrat, saying that we need God back in the equation, saying that acknowledging God and our faith is important and we need to bring it back in. I'm encouraged by this, folks. This is good stuff. I'm no Democrat. I mean, I'm frankly, I don't like to say I'm a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a biblical citizen, and I'm going to go with whichever candidate best stands for biblical values, whether they're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, Daffy Duck Party. And they have to also not only stand for the right values, they have to meet the biblical command in Exodus 18:21 of being an able man, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Now, I believe that includes women. I'm not saying you got to be a man to run for office, but it means you do have to be able, capable of winning. So when I say I'm going to go for whoever most stands for biblical values, that doesn't mean any Yahoo anywhere in the country that says I'm running for president, and they may be perfect on my list of issues, but if they have zero chance of winning, they aren't perfect on my biblical design of a candidate. The Bible says able, fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. So they got to be capable. So they're going to have to be in one of the two major parties to win president, and they're going to have a chance at winning that primary in one of those two major parties. So this RFK guy, man, this Kennedy, he is bringing the heat on the Democrats, and he's saying all. And here's the other thing: he's connecting. I've said this for 25 years, ever since Columbine, 24 years, that you have to look at the psychotropic drugs. All of the mass murder events, there is a tie. That person that goes in and commits that mass murder, you got to look at the psychotropic drugs. You got to look at the hormone therapy now with all these transgenders. I guarantee you, if we find out that Nashville murderer, guarantee you on all kinds of hormone therapy, psychotropic drugs, I will bet the farm on that. If we're ever able to find out, if we're ever able to get the manifesto and all that, guarantee you we're going to find out those things. Okay, I got kind of excited and did not get to the phones, and I apologize. To those who are waiting on the phones, we will do that in the third segment. The phone number is 888-589-8840. So Jim, Derek, Carl, all you folks on hold, I apologize to you. Stay with me. We'll go through the calls as quick as we can in our final segment, but I had to bring attention to this Robert Kennedy. I don't even know what you call it. They call it Twitter Spaces, I guess. It's like an interview, but you got multiple people on there, and then you have other people. I think actually Tulsi Gabbard was on as well, and people can come in and ask. I'm going to try this out. We're going to do a Twitter Space at some point. It looks pretty cool what they're doing. This is how DeSantis announced his campaign, and other people are doing it. So Kennedy did one with Musk, just like DeSantis did one with Musk, and that's where I'm getting all of these statements that he made. But he actually does. He points out the tie between psychotropic drugs and the mass murder. So RFK is, man, I mean, defending the Second Amendment. He's talking about these attacks on the Bill of Rights. This is good for America, folks. I know most of you listening are probably not Democrats. Some of you are, but most of you probably not. And so you may wonder why I would brag on a Democrat like this. It's truth. When there's good truth out there, we're going to highlight it here at the Core. All right, I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Let's take one more break. We'll be back with your phone calls, 888-589-8840. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
That was fake news. Fake news. Your host is not Walker Wildman today. Sorry. Walker's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's Rick Green today. You're stuck with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I hope that's okay. And I know everybody's blood pressure goes up on Tuesdays and Thursdays because I talk 100 miles an hour and I get a little bit excited, a little bit passionate about these topics. And I apologize. Hey, go sit in the hot tub. Go chill out. You know, smoke a good cigar maybe. That's a good way to lower your blood pressure. Yes, I just recommended a cigar on American Family Radio. That's it. Last time you'll hear Rick Green on American Family Radio. Let's go to the phones, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. All right, let's see here. We got Charlie in North Carolina. Charlie, how you doing, man? Thanks for calling in. What's your comment or question today?
Yes, Rick, it's good to hear from you. I like to get excited, too. I'm a regular school board meeting attendee. I'm almost a fixture there. I speak my 3 minutes every month.
Excellent.
And it's easy to criticize, but I want to be constructive if I can.
Yeah.
I want to find a primer. I want to find a the Constitution to get into the curriculum somehow, some
yes.
way. Every kid needs to hear this and do this and know something about us, what we are, or
Amen.
As a country.
Amen.
I want your comments on it, and I love to find out something that you have.
And you're in North Carolina, Charlie? Is that where you are?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Catawba County.
I'm trying to remember. I've actually got a map on my website. I'll try to find that in a second, of the states that have adopted the law that I passed 20 years ago here in Texas that requires the Constitution and the Declaration to be taught every year, K through 12. And now they get to choose the curriculum of what they're going to use to teach, but it requires that they spend. In our case in Texas, we did it where it's 3 to 5 hours the week of Constitution Day, September 17th. And so there's a law on the books that says they have to do it. And then guys like you in the community that are going to the school board meetings, you can actually do exactly what you're recommending or asking about. And that is, what can I bring them to say, okay, here, let me make it easy for you. Here's a curriculum you can use in your classroom. So we just released at Patriot Academy a 1 day, it's a 45-minute, basically like you just said, primer on the Constitution. We did it last Constitution Day, last fall, for September 17th. And our Constitution coaches, 25,000 of them across the country, gained access to that where they could then go to their local schools and say, hey, you need to do something for Constitution Day. Even if your state in North Carolina does not have the law that I passed here in Texas, I think it's like seven states that have now passed it. First of all, that's a great, great project for you. You could start lobbying your legislators if they haven't done that. But there's also a federal law passed 30 years ago. No. It was right after my. It was about 20 years ago. By, believe it or not, a Democrat, Senator Byrd, it was passed at the federal level that says on Constitution Day, one day, not a whole week like I do, with my law, my state law, but for one day on Constitution Day, unless it falls on Saturday or Sunday, then you got to do it Friday or Monday before. You got to do something on the Constitution. You got to start teaching the kids, like you just said, Charlie, who we are, where we came from, how our system of government works. And so there's a law on the books at the federal level and in some states at the state level that they have to do this, which opens the door for you to go to the local school board and say, hey, what are we doing for Constitution Day this next fall? What are we going to do in September for Constitution Day? Here's a class. Here's a 45-minute lecture class that Patriot Academy's Constitution coaches will come in and do it. Your teacher doesn't even have to spend extra time learning this and teach it. We'll even come in and do the presentation. So sign up as a coach, Charlie, and you'll have access to that. And by the way, that's free to sign up as a coach. Just go to patriotacademy.com, click on Constitution Coach, sign up as a coach, and then in your dashboard will be the Constitution Day curriculum, and then you can take that. It's a PowerPoint presentation. It's got everything you need and a video that kind of teaches you how to host that class for 45 minutes. Or send it to the teachers at your local school district and say, hey, I'm helping y'all. Here you go. Here's a 45-minute lesson. So that's one solution for you. The second one is a little bit harder, but in some ways easier. Okay, and here's what I mean. There's a book that was written in 1828 called The Catechism on the Constitution. And we've reprinted that at Wall Builders. And we've got a little hardback version of it that you can give to a teacher and say, hey, just go use this on Constitution Day. There's also a bigger kind of blown up version that we have available at patriotacademy.com. So that's another option. So you either use Patriot Academy's Constitution Day curriculum or the Catechism on the Constitution, which is, you know, granted, 100 years old, but it's, oh, and I'm telling you, man, it's got questions in there that the teacher will not know the answer to, but they're in there. It's a catechism, so the answers are right there with the questions. So there's two solutions for you. That's just the one day, you know, for Constitution Day. The other option is get them to do Chasing American Legends. We did a 12-episode series where we go to Independence Hall in one of those episodes, and we talk about the Constitution being created there, the Declaration of Independence being created there. We go to Lexington and march with the Minutemen. It's a fun reality show way for kids to learn the Constitution and learn the Declaration of Independence. So there's three resources for you, Charlie. I hope that answers your question. You can take all of those to your school board or take them directly to the principal, take them directly to whoever's teaching the classes and tell them, use these tools. You're right on, Charlie. 100% spot on. We need to be teaching this stuff to the kids. Okay, let's go to the next caller. How about... let's see, Derek in Tennessee. I'm just going to grab one here. Derek in Tennessee, thanks for calling in, man. What's your comment or question?
So yesterday evening, I was at my son's eighth grade graduation, and I made three observations while I was at the school because it's up in Illinois, and I live in Tennessee. I haven't lived in Illinois in over 2 years. First observation was during the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem, we had people sitting around all over the gymnasium during that period of time. My second observation was during the principal's commencement speech. He was sitting there talking about people being made of stars and we come from stars and all this other kind of stuff, and it just felt really of the devil. And they utilized the restroom, and they had products in the bathroom. And those are my comments. And it was...
I lost that last part, Derek. You cut out, but yeah, I mean, the whole star thing sounds like some kind of new age, we are one with the earth, you know, kind of stuff. And that, and you know, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I'm just was this a public school or private school? I should ask you that.
It's a public school, and the last part was there were feminine products in the boys' bathroom.
Oh, yeah, at an eighth grade. This was a middle school.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Oh. Folks, that's just, I'm telling you, get your kids out of the public schools if at all possible. And if not, you know, definitely go testify at the school district. Go put pressure on them. Bring truth. I mean, even if you do get, actually, I should say, even if you get them out of the public schools, do, I mean, I'm still very involved in what's going on in the public school. You should be as well, because 80% of the kids are still there. But listen to what this guy just said. I mean, what are they teaching in eighth grade to your child? They're undermining everything you're teaching at home, undermining everything your church is teaching. They're teaching them that they're one with the earth. It's all this new age, absolutely exactly what Romans 1 talks about, worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And then it's so Looney Tunes, it's so crazy. This is what happens when you lose moral truth, moral absolutes, and you go to moral relativism. You start worshiping the earth, you start worshiping the creation instead of the creator, and then you start becoming the creator, you start thinking you're God, and that's what this whole transgender thing is all about. And then the delusion sets in, and then you have feminine products in the boys' bathroom for eighth graders, which means they're transitioning kids. They're convincing kids where they're not actually transitioning them, because there's no such thing as actual transition. They're lying to these kids, and they have middle school children, middle school, obviously girls, that they've convinced are boys, now going into the boys' bathroom. Because the boys, I promise you, I can state this unequivocally without any hesitation, that it is 100% factually true. There is not a single actual boy, whether eighth grade or a man that's 80 years old, that needs these feminine products. There is no male on the planet that is menstruating. And yet they've poked fun at Dennis Prager, laughed at Dennis Prager on the Bill Maher program, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when he brought this up and said, there are people in this country that now believe that men can menstruate. And Bill Maher laughed at him, and the audience laughed at him and said, there's nobody that believes that. Nobody's doing that. This is what has happened, the whole LGBTQ thing from day one. They have said, this is all we're asking for, and you are a right-wing extremist nut job when you say that we want more than that, or that we believe more than that. And every step of the way, they've done that. And we called it out from the beginning, folks. 30 years ago, we said, if you start down this road, it will lead to chaos, because it's what, who was it? Let's see, was it Joseph Story? Now, I'm trying to remember the founder that said, when you fall into moral relativism, you become unmoored from truth. In other words, you've basically let the anchor go. You're no longer tied to the dock. And your boat is now out there just floating with the waves and the storms. Whichever way the storms blow, you go with them. And that's where we are as a country. We have eighth graders going into the boys' bathroom and being told they need feminine products. Whew, what a phone call. What a phone call. That's what's happening in public schools all over this country. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, no, not in our neighborhood, not in our school. You know, we live in rural, whatever it is, rural Tennessee, rural Arkansas, rural Texas. No, I promise you, this left-wing nonsense is in your public school as well. Your principal may not even know about it. Your school board may not even know about it. There's a teacher, there's someone in that public school that has been indoctrinated by the left. They're part of the left-wing teacher unions, and they are trying to turn around and indoctrinate the children in that school district. And in some of those rural school districts, they're going along with it. They're actually endorsing this stuff. I'm fighting it here in Texas. We got a school in Plainview, Texas. Folks, that's the panhandle of Texas. This is cow country. This is ag country. And we got a school district there that tried to cover up a eight-year-old? I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact age, but it was an elementary kid, elementary girl that I can't go into details. It was forced to do a sex act in the classroom. The teacher wasn't even paying attention. And the school district tried to cover it up, lied to the... I mean, it's everywhere, folks. It's everywhere. You got to be on guard. And you cannot be silent. And this is one of the ones I got coming up. But Bill Federer is an amazing guy. If you haven't ever listened to Bill Federer, he's American Minute, a phenomenal guy. And he and David Barton just bring so much truth from our history and to the public. And anyway, he is going to do, I'm going to have him on, and he's going to talk about, we were just together at the Turning Point Faith Pastor Summit, And man, he was spouting the scriptures. I mean, just the truth was coming out. And he was talking about how silence, it's the old Bonhoeffer thing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this in the early 1930s, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And I remember reading that in Eric Metaxas' book on Bonhoeffer, and it just, I mean, it knocked me over. And Federer, Bill Federer, it has all these scriptures where he's talking about silence is sin itself. And we're gonna have him on, and it'll blow you away. But I'm just saying, for you as a listener right now, silence is not acceptable. Silence is sin. Silence in the face of evil is sin. If you don't believe me, you just wait for that interview with Bill Federer. You'll know. Absolutely. And you can't be silent. So to this caller and to everybody listening, if your kid's in public school, whether or not they're in public school or not, you need to be digging into what's going on in your local neighborhood, in your local school district, and not be silent. It's not an option. You cannot be silent in the face of evil. You absolutely have to stand up for truth. Okay, I'm so sorry, man. We had so many good calls waiting out there. Let me try and get one more. This is Linda in Texas. Linda, I'm so sorry to leave you with only 60 seconds, but go for it.
Okay. Well, I'll have to make it really, really fast. First of all, my friend teaches at that school in Plainview, and what the information you have is incorrect.
Okay, give me a counter.
They were trying to deal with it, and the mother of the little girl sacrificed her child for 15 minutes of fame on Facebook. That's enough of that. Anyway,
I'll tell you what I'll do. I will look into it, Linda. That's definitely not what I'm hearing from some trusted sources. So, I love the opportunity to find the truth, right? That's what Patrick Henry told us to do. So, absolutely, I'll look into that.
That's true.
Go ahead.
Well, you talked about people stepping on toes. At the end of the sermon, my husband greets people as they're leaving church, and they have often said, you know, you stepped on my toes. He said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, God missed. He was aiming at your heart.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like it. I like it. What's your husband's name?
Yes. Will Fish.
Will?
Fish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You tell him I said thank you. I'm going to borrow that because that's a good one. That's very, very good.
It's yours for the taking because it's true. God does not work with toes. He works with heart.
That's good. That's good. Thank you, Linda. Thanks so much for calling in. I'll absolutely look into that whole thing with the Plainview School District, and we'll get back to the audience on that one as well. Be sure and join me again on Thursday, folks. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays here on At the Core. I'm going to try to get that Bill Federer interview for you for this Thursday. Just phenomenal again. Just incredible stuff. So hopefully we'll be able to get him. But whatever the topic, whatever the subject, whatever the issue, don't be silent. Be willing to stand up. Now, that doesn't mean go off, you know, what we used to call half-cocked. That's a whole Revolutionary War gun issue we could deal with. But make sure that you got your facts and your information. And if someone corrects you, like Linda's corrected me on the Plainview thing, go do your homework and come back and admit. And that's what I'm going to do as well. Really appreciate you listening today, folks. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.